The scripture today is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
In our Union Church staff meeting on last Wednesday, Greg and Chris were having a discussion about the service today. And Chris Yorks, our worship director, said to me, "Matthew, could you have exercised a bit more imagination or ingenuity in choosing your sermon title? It is Pentecost. Your sermon title is Pentecost. Couldn't you at least have done tongues of fire or something like that?" To which Pastor Greg said, "Well, tongues of fire sounds like a spicy food restaurant, like a Sichuan restaurant." And we had a debate. It is Pentecost. And Pentecost is a perplexing, puzzling annual celebration in the church. What is Pentecost? I have three questions for you. The first, please turn to your neighbor and either ask or tell them which member of the Trinity is especially honored at Pentecost. Okay, it sounds like I heard many correct answers. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Ghost, and is the Holy Spirit that is especially honored at Pentecost. Second question, turn to your neighbor and tell them what Pentecost means, the word. Okay. I heard less correct answers, but I did hear it. Pentecost means 50. Like you could have a Pentecost birthday. Penta is 5, and cost is a form of deca, 5 tens. So this Pentecost is a celebration 50 days after what event?
Easter
for the Christians, Passover for the Jewish community. And so Pentecost, or in Hebrew, Shavuot, is still celebrated today in the Jewish community. They're celebrating right now. We have this concurrent holiday or festival. Now, third question. If you were going to read about the event of Pentecost, to which book of the Bible would you turn? Turn to your neighbor and inform them. Okay, some good guesses. The book of Acts. There are 4 sections in the New Testament, history, Acts in the middle, tells us the story of the early church. And it begins when Peter, who denied Christ, no longer denies Christ, but emboldened by the Holy Spirit, stands and preaches his first sermon. And after that sermon, 3,000 people come to know Jesus Christ. Pentecost, it is an annual celebration, and yet there is much puzzlement around this day. When I was living in New York City, I served in a church as an usher. And during my usher training, I was told, beware of Mrs. Robinson when she catches the Holy Ghost. And in a 5,000-member church, I thought, oh, that's interesting that one member in particular would enter into the training session. Until my first Sunday as an usher, when I saw Mrs. Robinson catch fire. And she stood and she started to flay her arms and she shrieked and she wailed and she spoke in a language that I never heard and she passed out at the end of it. This demonstration of being touched by the Holy Spirit is something which is not uncommon in churches around the world. There are 2.4 billion Christians in the world. That's 33% of the globe. Of those 2.4 billion, 584 million, roughly a fourth of the Christians in the world, regard themselves as charismatic. Now, what does charismatic mean? In 1906, there was a church in Los Angeles, California, and a pastor stood to lead a revival, and during that service, people began speaking in tongues. There were claims of miraculous healings, and after that, it sparked a movement called the Pentecostal movement. You'll recognize Pentecost is the core word of this denomination's identity. Then, in the 1960s, this idea, this theology that the Holy Spirit didn't just move in the book of Acts to raise people from the dead and heal and lead people to prophesy in unknown languages or in languages that they couldn't speak, but that this can happen today. That idea, that theology in the 1960s entered into the mainstream churches, Protestantism, Catholicism, in the Orthodox Church. And since then, it has been growing like wildfire around the world. And so, if you turn to your neighbor, they may be a charismatic. There are charismatics here in Union Church. What are we to make of this difference within the church on the identity of the Holy Spirit and its manifestation in Pentecost? There are three things today that I would like to speak about. Conveniently, they all start with a P. The first is to do with the people of Pentecost. Who does this Pentecost event affect? Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 2, those of you who like to read along, it says that the disciples were gathered in the upper room. There were 120 of them. Now, this is an encouragement to all those small group leaders. How many people did Jesus Christ appear to after his resurrection? 500 people. How many people were left worshiping Christ 50 days later? 120. That's quite an attrition rate. But into that room came a wind and then a fire. And the men and women went out into the streets and they began speaking intelligible languages, but not languages which they grew up speaking. So these Hebrew men and women spoke in Aramaic and Greek and in other native languages from around the then known world to this context. So, for instance, we have the languages of Mesopotamia, of Iran and Iraq. We have the languages of Europe, of Rome and of Crete. We have the languages of Africa, of Libya and Egypt, and all the languages in the areas around Jerusalem, including those of Asia Minor, like Phrygian and Pamphylian and the languages of Pontus. All these languages, men and women who hadn't lived in those regions were able to communicate in. The people of God, the people of Pentecost, is everyone. This is the first thing to know about the Pentecost event. Pentecost is moving a Jewish community to say, we are no longer just a Jewish community, but we are meant to go to the ends of the earth and include all peoples in our community. So, after Pentecost, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are meant to invite all people into the body, the community of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the beauty of Union Church. Look around you. Tongues, nations, races from all over the world are represented here in our congregation. So the first thing we know about the people of Pentecost is that it's everybody. The second thing we need to know is who's in charge here. Jesus Christ is the CEO of the largest organization in the world, the church. Now, Mark Zuckerberg, with 1.936 billion Facebook users, is quickly catching up, but he is not yet the largest CEO in the world. Xi Jinping is also quite large with 1.435 billion or 375? 1.375 billion people in China, but he's not yet the largest CEO, so to speak, in the world. Jesus Christ commands the largest organization, even today. And Jesus Christ has taken a business trip. He is no longer in the office. Now, I think I stand on solid biblical ground when I say this. Jesus Christ has flown away from the office. We call that the ascension. Jesus Christ will one day return. We call that the second coming or judgment day. But the date of his return ticket, the chairman, God, has not informed us, so we don't know. Now, in the meantime, we call ourselves the friends of Jesus, or we have a relationship with Jesus. That's possible because he's God. He can do so from a distance. But there is a sense in which the paparazzi do not photograph Jesus walking into the Vatican. Neither does Apple Daily photograph Jesus walking into Union Church to lead our committee of management. Jesus is away. So what do the people of God do in the absence of the CEO? Well, they have a COO. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in the absence of Jesus, is meant to lead the people, move the people. So the people of God, it's meant to be everyone. Go out into the world. Bring everyone in. It's led by Jesus Christ, and in his absence, the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? The second P. The people, now the purpose. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is simply and primarily to direct people to Jesus Christ. So, if we go to John's farewell in chapters 14, 15, 16, 17 of the Gospel of John, he emphasizes there that it is the role of the Holy Spirit to testify to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a mysterious being in Christianity. How many of you have seen a painting of Christ? Of course. How many of you have seen an image of Christ? Of course. And it's meant to be that way. He is the image of the invisible God. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in the King James even, is a far more mysterious creature. But his purpose is, well, creature would be wrong. He's not created. Anyway, his purpose is clear. It is to lead us to Jesus Christ. And he does so not forcibly, but speaking in our hearts bit by bit, encouraging us to look to our Lord and Savior. So, the first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead us to Jesus Christ. The second purpose is to bring about unity in the church. It says in Acts that they were all of one accord, one Spirit together. That is the work of the Spirit to create in us a unity. Now, Union Church has, as its name suggests, an emphasis on unity. But the Spirit comes so, again in John, Jesus says, you will know the people of God by their unity in love for each other. So when we are united, we are, in a sense, doing what our COO would have us do. So we have the people of God, the purpose of the Spirit, which is to point us to Christ and to unite us as a people. Finally, we is a community. Wait, I have to check my third P. A bit tired with farewells. The power. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the power of the Holy Spirit? Is it to speak in tongues and raise people from the dead and perform great miracles? Well, there are two aspects of the Holy Spirit's power. The first is the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, these gifts are wide-ranging. Some are gifts of leadership and administration, of teaching. Some are gifts, the dramatic ones, of healing and speaking in tongues. But when the Holy Spirit bestows the gift of healing someone, or rather working through someone to heal another, that's a gift that comes in an instant. And it's not you who does the healing, it's God, the Creator, the Holy Spirit, who's doing the healing. So the gifts are given, but the second part of the power of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the fruit is much more difficult. Fruit takes time to grow. It doesn't just, boom, strike you and you can do it. Fruit takes maturity. It takes ripening. And for this reason, when Paul speaks about the power of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, he names all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives the community of God to go out and do the work of God. But then he says, now, I'll show you the most excellent way. And there is one thing that, though so-and-so has this gift and so-and-so has this gift, there is one thing that everyone must do. And then we have 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That encomium to agape, that famous praise of love, which is read at nearly every wedding you've gone to, if it's a Christian wedding. The greatest of these is love. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, details what the other gifts of the Spirit are. Love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. These nine fruits of the Holy Spirit are the proof that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. The proof is not whether you're a great administrator or you speak another language or you can heal people or you're a preacher. Those are gifts, but the fruit is something which we all are meant to embody and grow in. These nine things. This is how you can identify someone with the Holy Spirit. So when we go to the grocery store and we're given a bag and we realize that more was put in the bag than we paid for, or they left something off the bill, and we go back to the grocery store and we say, you should have charged me more money. That integrity, that faithfulness, is an example of having the Holy Spirit. When still working? Okay. When your brother, that's a good Pentecost moment. When your brother or your child or someone in your family says something abrasive and rude to you, and you, instead of bark back, practice long suffering, macrothumia, patience. That is evidence of the Holy Spirit ripening in you. So we have gifts, but we all are called to manifest the Holy Spirit through the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this morning I woke up, and before I read the BBC, I saw on Facebook that friends in London were checking in as safe. And though we're not quite sure of the event, whether it's Manchester, London, or Paris, or the events in Syria, or is when we look around the world, there is bleakness and darkness there. And even when we look at our Hong Kong, which we love, as we look to the futures, Hong Kong plays somewhat of a diminished role in the region. Or as we look to our careers and we're anxious about our career, or as we look to our own lives and we wonder, what's the purpose of it all? It's in these moments that the Spirit wants to come into our hearts and to give us the peace that passes all understanding. And that is the Spirit, the essence of Pentecost. Let us pray. Father, we prepare our hearts for communion now. And in communion, through the body and the blood, we look to Jesus Christ. And as we look to Jesus Christ, we are told that it is the Holy Spirit that prompts us along the road, along the way. So we thank you for your Spirit, for leading us to your Son. And we pray that we would manifest more the fruits of your Holy Ghost. Amen.